This book is about war. It is about terror and cruelty and the biological origins and long, brutal, vicious, and destructive history of organized aggression. Perhaps most importantly, it is about not just the depths to which human beings can sink, but also how we came to be this way and what we can do about it. We will show that killing other members of our own species, a rarity in the animal kingdom, is a male behavior that evolved early in our history, because those individuals who manifested such a predisposition were more likely to transmit their genes to the next generation than those who didn't. War and violence, then, are indelibly linked to sex and reproduction. This does not mean that human beings are inherently murderous, however, nor that war is inevitably as much a part of our future as it is a fixture of our past. In fact, we will show that humanity can take control of its most destructive impulses to build a safer, more secure world. Indeed, we have already begun to do so. Despite our fiendishly effective weaponry and the very real and vicious presence of war and terrorism in the modern world, we are actually more at peace today than we have ever been. In the pages that come, we will show that for most of history and prehistory, small groups of men who were prepared to attack their neighbors and steal their resources, and who could seduce or coerce women for sex, ended up having more offspring. Women, meanwhile, were more likely to improve their reproductive success, to have more children survive to reproduce themselves, by aligning themselves with successfully violent men, rather than by joining raids and risking death themselves. Women will certainly fight courageously to protect themselves, their children, and their communities, but unlike men, they do not seem to band together spontaneously, go out and attack and kill other people. Fortunately, humans have culture, as well as biology. Our genes may provide violent impulses, but our minds, our hearts, and our laws and social standards are often quite good at tempering them. We will argue that while evolution has linked sex and violence over millions of years, civilization has given us the tools to separate the two again, and that this opens an important pathway toward making the world a safer place. To understand how, we must look closely at war and its impacts from a biological perspective. What we see when we do so can be distressingly ugly. Of my foreign colleagues in Bangladesh, Dr. Jeff Davis from Australia stayed longest after the war. He visited every hospital in the country and estimated that 100,000 women had been raped during the 9-month conflict. Many of them were girls hardly past puberty. They were malnourished and their pregnancies were well advanced by the time we arrived to try to help them, and unfortunately we did have the sort of medical complication I had feared would require an ambulance. Sometimes when a fetus dies in the womb, either spontaneously or during an induced abortion, the protein that makes blood clot accumulates around the dead tissue. Doctors call the condition a fibrinogenemia, and it was the reason one of the women we were treating began to bleed copiously as we were trying to deliver her dead fetus. We needed the ambulance, fast. But the driver had chosen that precise moment for lunch and had wandered off, taking the ambulance keys with him. After a harried search and much lost time, we found the driver and the keys and set off for the hospital, now in desperate need of a blood transfusion for our patient. The young girl died as I cradled her head on my lap, traveling the potholed road from our nursing home to the hospital. In a highly conservative Muslim society such as Bangladesh, to rape a woman is to destroy her. As we will see, there are biological reasons why men often strive to control women's reproduction. And rape during wartime, a disturbingly common phenomenon, may be an extreme example of that tendency. Regardless, the systematic campaign of rape tore Bangladeshi society apart from within. If a woman had been a virgin when she was attacked, she became unmarriageable. If already married, she was abandoned by her husband as unclean. The women brought to us came from various parts of Dhaka, the capital, and they lay motionless on the iron beds we had found to furnish the little nursing home. They never talked to us, or to one another, and even our Bengali colleagues could discover very little about them. Sometimes we did not even know their names. It took some time just to find out who our dead girl was and where she came from.